Reeser, St. Helena, California, January 13, 1908. Elder Reeser, Los Angeles. Dear Brother Reeser, I am instructed to say to you that if you adhere to the statements you have made, you will prove your statements true by a change in your manner of work and in the spirit of your dealings. I have taken this matter to the Lord, and He has instructed me that if you will make Him your counselor, He will enable you to make these changes in your dealings with your brethren. If you will humble your heart before God and seek His strength, He will give you grace to redeem your failures. I do not desire to see you humbled before the conference. If the Lord will be pleased to give me further instruction regarding your case, I will give it to you. I have been writing early and late the past week. In the night seasons, messages have been given me for our workers in leading positions, entreating them to humble their hearts before God, because in the near future we were to have experiences which would call for entire dependence upon Him. Our works and our ways are to be such that we shall know that we are following on to know the Lord, whose goings forth are prepared as the morning. When Moses was called to lead the children of Israel, he was overwhelmed with a sense of his inability for the task. He felt that he could not speak words that would prevail with the king of Egypt. "O my Lord," he said, "I am not eloquent. Neither heretofore nor since hast thou spoken to thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." The answer came, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb to speak, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go. I will be thy mouth, and will teach thee what thou shalt say." Exodus 4, verse 10 to 12. What a work God would have wrought for Moses if he had fully believed the Lord. But because he did not believe, Aaron, his brother, who was eloquent in speech, was chosen to speak before Pharaoh. Now, my brother, I fully believe that the Lord will give you tongue and utterance to speak right words. I believe that He will teach you to become wise in speech, and that you will give up your self-confidence and your love to control. Your only hope is in God. I write in full confidence that you will become meek and lowly in heart. If you will accept the meekness of Christ, the Lord will make you a blessing. I long to see you a man strong, not in your own strength, but in the righteousness of Christ. You will be brought into straight places, but if you will put your trust in God, He will be your efficiency. The burden of my heart for you has been distressingly great, so that I have not been able to sleep. While at Loma Linda and Paradise Valley, there were two nights that I did not sleep at all. Oh, I have been so glad in the hope that you might become a man of righteousness, a man who would not exalt self. Several times I have passed through experiences similar to this, when it was thought that ministers should be separated from the work. On one occasion, a brother was taking sides with some who were standing out against the testimonies. I prayed for him and pleaded with him to yield to the Spirit of God. This was at the time of some important meetings, and the following meeting was to be decisive. I begged this brother to throw his influence on the right side, but although he did not repulse me, he would not yield. We went to the place of meeting, and the two parties were present. How would this brother decide? I bore my testimony before those assembled. Then I addressed the opposing party, and then the brother with whom I had been conversing. Suddenly, I saw his face grow deathly pale. And after I had finished speaking, he rose to his feet and confessed that all through the camp meeting, he had stood on the wrong side, in stubborn and determined resistance to the testimonies of the Spirit of God. He acknowledged that the party to which he had belonged had not offered a prayer in their houses where they slept, during the time that the meetings had been in session, but had spent their time in ridiculing my words and the words of those who were in harmony with me. But, he said, the conviction of the Spirit of God has come upon me, and I shall always be ashamed of the course I have taken. I surrender right here my wicked opposition, for I feel that I have been reproved by God. That brother has ever since stood true to the testimonies of the Spirit of God. I have no knowledge that he has ever gone back from the stand he took at that meeting. You know that brother well, but I will not mention his name. Case after case of the same kind has come before me. But as the Lord moved upon this brother's heart, so he has moved on the hearts of others. And so he will continue to work through the influence of his Spirit. My brother, be true to God, and you will be true to your church duties. Link up with your brethren. Be kind and courteous. I am instructed to say to you, watch and pray. Then you will increase in faith and hope and patience. I am so glad that I can bear you this message. Bless the Lord, O my soul, for his goodness and love to the erring children of men. The Lord Jesus, to whom pertains all grace, is invested with all power. What have we then to fear? He who has purchased us with his own blood declares, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. I shall feel a greater interest in your case than I have ever yet felt, because of the experience you are having. The enemy has desired your soul that he might sift you as wheat. But I shall believe that you will not continue to hold the position you have held in the past, to exercise a dominating power. Now is your opportunity to exercise your powers in a way that will result in the saving of souls. We shall certainly try to help you. I pray that God may abundantly bless you as you strive to meet the requirements of the Lord. In sending you this counsel, I have asked the advice of no human being. These words of encouragement come from the highest authority. You are on trial. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Unsanctified self has borne sway long enough. Put not your trust in self, neither make flesh your arm. You can encourage us all by working in harmony with those men who have been chosen to carry weighty responsibilities. Unite with them, and the blessing of the Lord will certainly come upon you.